Thank you, everyone, for giving me this opportunity. Really grateful for allowing me to come up here. Really felt it on my heart the Lord was asking me to tell my testimony. It's only taken me 12 years that I'm here, and the title of the testimony is Embrace Problems as Gifts. And to me, when I did actually sit in a book, so it's not actually my title, so I did pinch it. I thought, well, that doesn't make sense to me, embrace problems as gifts, because I don't like problems. But I realised that through having the problems I've gone through in my life, that they've been gifts because it's changed me and moulded me into more of God than I should be. So I'm going to talk about that. So, just try and change the slide. Where am I clicking here? So I've never written down my life events before, and this testimony has been really difficult to put together because it has so many emotions. So I've gone through, like, from the age of naught, finishes up there, 36, so I'm a bit older than that, as you all know. Just to tell you what my life has been like with the Lord. And yeah, like I said earlier, he's been working through me the last few weeks and months, working on this testimony, and I feel he's been continually been healing me and giving me verses. Because when I actually sat down and looked at my life, I thought, how on earth did I get through this? And it's only because of God, because I would not have stood a chance. So, briefly, my mum, dad, my brother, and me. I was brought up in a loving Christian home where faith was shown in action. My parents very ongoing with the Lord, and it was really good to see that. Dad was a plumber, unfortunately he used to work contract work, so very often he was unemployed. And money was difficult, life was hard. There was times when we didn't have much food, and my parents, within faith, prayed for food. And I saw that, and the doorbell rang. I'm lying, we didn't have a doorbell, the door knocker rang off. And there was 4 bags of food. And my parents hadn't told anybody in the church what was going on. And I saw things like that happen in our household, where my parents used to pray and sing to the Lord for things, and I would see them arrive at the door. And that set me up for the rest of my life to know that if I had the faith just a little bit, that I would be able to do that as well. And my mum made this card. Sadly, she's not with us anymore, but she made this card. I think I've jumped the gun here. Sorry, Steve, with these slideshows. But don't think it's the next one now. We'll have to have a look. Oh, yes, it is. And on it it says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I was like Ben's story, nothing is impossible with God. But God does move that mountain. And this has come in for years. My mother made this years and years ago, and I gave one to Steve when we met, because he was going through difficulties with his divorce. And he rubbed this mustard seed so much, not being superstitious, he just found it comforting, that it fell off. And then when I wanted to use this for my sermon, I said to Steve, well, the only one I've got is the one Joseph ripped. I can't use that. And went into the cupboard, and I couldn't believe my eyes. All of these items, handwriting and printed things on it, and where they came from, but they were in an old school plate. So it's really important to our faith. So here's my mum and dad, so I remember them. We did a lot of things in Hebron Hall. I used to love going, my brother hated it. Hebron Hall was like a Christian camp. And it's one day my parents did a drama. That's not the drama they're doing, that was in Disneyland Paris. But they did a really controversial one where dad dressed up as a nurse. In the 80s that was quite unusual. And then was the doctor, and they talked about Ezekiel, about the heart of stone. And that really resonated with me from a young age, because everything I've gone through, I always thought, you know, soften your heart towards that person, towards this situation, and always looked at that. Right? Don't know where that went and scarred when that sequel went. But where that slide did. But yeah, so it's about having a heart for God and not a heart's heart. So then I met a Christian boyfriend, there he is, somebody might remember him. Very good friend, my best friend. Yeah, he was a brethren, I was Pentecostal, which again was a big thing because you didn't mix those two together, but yeah, we put up with it and we took it in turns to go to the churches. And then we had a gorgeous boy, Dylan. Dylan's not here today, but he's a difficult baby. I didn't know at the time he had Asperger's. I found that later on in life, but I love him very much, and I'm privileged that God has given me him and given me that child, entrusted me with him with so many problems he has, and I'm so grateful for him. He weighs me out, but I'm so grateful that the Lord has blessed me with him. And sadly, after I had him, as most mums feel, they feel tired after delivery, but I just didn't feel well and couldn't work out what was wrong with me, so the doctors ran lots of blood tests. And unfortunately found out I had an autoimmune disease, which was called MCTD, which stands for mixed connective tissue disease, which is lupus, Raynaud's, which all of those things give me joint pain, weakness, side effects, dizziness, feeling sick. I live with that on a daily basis, but I thank the Lord that this is improving. I was on channel blockers, anti-malaria drugs, you name it, I took those drugs, and they made me feel worse than the actual illness. But I continue to pray that one day I'll be healed, and I'm not there yet, but I'm certainly a lot better than I was, because this illness can affect internal organs, and I praise the Lord I've never ever had that. I'm still here, I work full time, and I've got a beautiful baby boy, which I was told I'd never have another child again, and I'm here, and that's all down to the Lord, and I praise him for that. Sadly, this is my, was my family. I got divorced. My husband used to work late. He started his own business as well because he wanted to just be successful. He was already a successful man and started his own business as well as working full time. And that was great. I had everything any woman would want, perhaps. All the latest cars, all the latest clothes, everything. One thing I didn't have, which I knew even before we got divorced, was I didn't have that faith and love that I saw in the Christian home, which I grew up with, and I longed for that. But that was fine. I used to just pray for him and pray that the Lord would soften his heart. But unfortunately, I don't know why. It could have been because I was ill, that he couldn't handle the stress. I don't know. But he had an affair and decided to leave me. And Dylan left him was 3 years old. And it broke my heart because I loved him. And I was with him as a teenager, some of you would know, but I knew that I had to get on with my life. And I questioned God because I thought, Lord, I did everything just as I was supposed to. What I learned in Sunday school, I got married at 17, the man I love. I did everything right, Lord. Why did this happen to me? And I questioned God and I retaliated. Not deliberately, I retaliated because I didn't know what to do. So I separated from him because that's what he wanted, and I had to find a job because I was a stay-at-home mum for 3 years. I had no money, I had no job, and I was a single mum. This verse came to me, even though I was wavering in and out of my faith, to be content. So as I've learned to be content whenever, I need glasses now as well. I have learned to be content whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, because at that point I did, I had nothing. I lived in a flat a friend gave me, free of charge, which is another answer to prayer. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, and I can do anything through him who gives me strength. And although I believe that, and I still do believe that, there was people around me. I had lovely Christian friends, one of which is sat there right now, Sarah, who continue to ask me, can I come to church, return to church? I said, I'm not returning to church because I found somebody else and I'm living in Satan and I'm living with them and I'm not going to come to church. But each time I had the Bible underneath my pillow under my bed, and before my boyfriend would come up, I used to read my Bible and then hide it. And the Lord was always trying to draw me close to him, and yet I was refusing because I thought, no, I did everything he wanted me to do, Lord, and my life's a mess. But this guy took me in and was very kind to me, showed me love, which unfortunately a lot of Christians didn't show me, which is sad, because as people of God we need to really show love to one another. And my parents were devastated that I stopped attending church. But thankfully, this one day, God gave me a vision. I felt he was on the beach, and this boyfriend of mine was throwing Dylan up and down in the water. I thought, my life's okay now, it's all right. But really, it was just something I was trying to cover over all the pain I was feeling from somebody I'd loved from 17 to 29 and let me down. I looked into the sky and heard a voice say, this is temporal. And I didn't know my scriptures, and I still don't know them that well now. And I forced against it. I said, wow, I seem to be happy, Lord. He said, it's temporal. It won't last. You need me. And I was so sad because I found another person I thought that I loved and could love, but I knew that it wasn't obedient to God. So I turned around from that and went on my own and bought a property of my own and set up house on my own and started following the Lord again. But, there's another but. unfortunately, my mother then was diagnosed with cancer. She battled with it for 3 years. And sadly, no matter how much we prayed, she died. And there was a void in my heart, and still is. But it says here, when I was going through things, I knew that I put the armour of God up, take the shield of faith, and I know that all God asks me to do is to stand, and it's my strength, my vindicator, my guide, and I will be the head, not the tail. And I kept on repeating those things. That's why there's things I used to say to myself, and sometimes still do when I'm feeling down. And that was really hard, that part of my life. The Bible says he will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things have passed away. And that's true. Yes, it still hurts as a human being that my mum's not here. But she has eternal glory, and I'm thankful and grateful that she's alive with God. And even now, to find these things she made years ago and to think about what she did when I was a child and even growing up inspires me to become closer to God. That her life was so ongoing. And like I said, later on then we realised that Dylan was diagnosed with Asperger's. He had difficulty socialising with other children. I thought it may have been from the divorce, the fact that he was so needy and clingy to me, but it wasn't. He had Asperger's. And a friend, my mother's funeral, gave me this. He gives strength to the weak and weary and increases the power of the weak. And those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and they'll soar on wings like eagles and they'll run and grow, not grow weary, and they'll walk and not be faint. And that was so true because the amount of appointments I had to go with him whilst trying to work was crazy. But the Lord sustained me in all of that. And then I sort of like started to settle down again, tried a variety of different churches, but couldn't really settle because I didn't feel that, because I was a single mum, I felt that nobody would take me into their room. Whether they were threatened by me, I don't know, but nobody would come close to me. And when your mum passes away, you need people in the church to do that. And I remember when, but I've forgiven the person, I asked her, do you have any single mums here? She said, oh, we don't have any of them. And it's just being really careful how we talk to people. And I thought, I've put it in loads of times, so I know I'm going to go with this woman. But it put me off, and I never went back again. And then I went on the roller coaster again, and not going to church, Sometimes I would go, then I had a string of non-Christian relationships, which was no good, because God couldn't do what he wanted to do in me. But I believe God forgives, and I know he's forgiven me for that. And I got fed up as well of finding the wrong man. So for once in my life, I decided to be alone. And that was the first time at 35 years old, I was on my own. And then, I developed a friendship. It was only a friendship. He was a very kind man, and he introduced me to God again. And we went to Victory Church together when the revival was on. And that was the first time that I began to know God like I'd never known him before. I'm very grateful that friend of mine, who was a male, who was happy to be a friend, which don't normally happen to me, who helped me to come back to the Lord. And so this is me on my own. But when I was on my own, when I was coming back to the Lord, I always had this verse, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake me. And that one was really important to me because my husband left me and I thought that would never happen because we were so close and we never argued. There was no signs before that. In our marriage, we were the perfect couple. But this resonates with me so much that God will never leave me. People will let me down, and that's just because we are people. But God never does. The perfect love casts out fear. And that helped me, that verse, to start a new relationship. And that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I've been weak, it's been my strength. So this guy here, you probably recognise, is the famous Stephen Prince, who I never even heard of. He was quite shocked when I said I hadn't heard you in my church circle, because I was Pentecostal. He's rather put out. I said, well, everybody knows us, because we play music, we preach. I said, well, I haven't. That was a good start. So I recognised him on Facebook. He was a friend of friends. And really strange. I prayed about it first before contacted him. I thought he was a nice man. I decided to be on my own now. I'm Miss Independent. I've got my own house. We've got everything sorted. My life's back to normal. But I thought, I felt led to. Something was about him. So I emailed him and we started talking. And we hit it off, and then surprisingly he told me he had divorce troubles, and part of me was happy. He said, oh, he's single. But then the part of me like, oh gosh, like, you know, I've been through that, so I want somebody now with all this baggage to try and support. And he was going through a lot, bless him, and he'll share with you, I'm sure. He had suffered from depression from it. And I helped him through that. And we met up and we both fell in love. And funny way how he proposed though, he gave me a countdown of 10 after going to a jewellery shop. So we had the 10, 9, 8 and so forth. But you know what, the Lord must have told him that, because there was no way that I would have committed to anyone else unless I was put under some type of pressure, because I didn't want to be married again, because I couldn't feel I could be hurt again. So I was then certain, because he wasn't my usual type, which is very well asked, see? And he had 3 teenage children, which lived with him, which gave the living daylights out of me. I don't mind children, but teenagers, I'm sorry if teenagers are here, they scare the living daylights out of me. I've got one of my own now, so I've got paper. But I was scared of them. And also the fact that he said to me, I'll be honest with you, Sarah, I've got no money. My wife's taking it all. So I thought, I told my dad, I'll be praying for you. I've wise counsel now, you've made lots of mistakes for different men at the time. I know this man's a Christian, but is this a good idea though? And I did doubt myself, but then the Lord, clearly I heard from the Lord saying to me, this is the man. And I had to fight against my flesh, because he wasn't what I wanted, really. All of it. And then when we did get married, well, before we got married, there was a miracle with the mortgage. We only had my money from my equity money from my past marriage. And we took a chance for a mortgage in. His credit rating was terrible. And we got this mortgage on a property where every child could have a bedroom each. And there was 4 of us. And each child had a bedroom. And that's a miracle that the Lord has done that. Although I have the equity money, Steve didn't have the credit rating. He was the biggest earner in the family. The Lord's, just moved the mountains again. It was difficult though. I'm not going to say it was a fairy tale. It's been difficult in molding two families together because it's not what God created. God created us to be with the same person. And I'm so thankful for Steve, the one I'm ill. He's by my side. He cares for me, he loves me, he doesn't give up on me. He loves me just the way I am. And that's what marriage is about, that you two people work together. It's never perfect, but you work in it. And with God in the middle of it, it'll always work. And God then blessed me and gave me a beautiful baby boy, Joseph, you all know. And that's such an answer to prayer. And I believe my health is being slowly restored. And I'm grateful again for the Lord doing that. Here's the slide I forgot to show you. These are the children. And then obviously there's baby Joseph. So you can see the youngest was 11, 14, 16 and 18. And I was 8 years, used to have my own freedom, my own everything. And then I had to share it with these guys. Had a new husband. But you know what? God knew the plans he had for me, and I listened to God for once in my life, actually listened. Not going off on my own, and I like this one, but no. God told me this, and he declared the love of the Lord. He plans to prosper me, not to harm. Plans to give me a hope and a future, and I see that now. I see what he's doing. At the time, I was nervous to take that step of faith, but I do see God moving. So although like this on reflection, I want to end this by a praise the Lord. Honor, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. He had compassion on me when I was going through things and never let me go. When I walked away from him, he didn't walk away from me. He comforted me in times of my troubles. And so that I can comfort those. And I'm here today, not for me, I'm here for you. I want to comfort some of you who are perhaps going through things which are horrendous, that you will get through them. Because if God's done it for me, he'll do it for you. And he'll comfort us in times of trouble. And some problems, this is just my quote, some problems will remain mysteries until we're face to face with God. So I don't know why my mum died. I don't know why my husband left. And I love them both dearly. But it's happened. But I know, and this is what I've learned, that God loves me unconditionally, and God is in control of my life, and God has the best for me, and nothing is impossible with God. And I know who I am in Christ. I took that time at 35 to actually find who I was in Christ, rather than finding out who I was in other people to get affirmation from. And I have a reward waiting for me in heaven. And I hope that's a big reward, because Dylan's very challenging. So I'm hoping I'm going to get a big one here. And I also know I'm fully forgiven, because I know I've done lots of wrong things. And life's not perfect, but God is faithful. And I just wondered if we could perhaps end with the song Michael W. Smith, Sovereign Over Us, because he is sovereign and he's faithful. And if any of you would like one of these, my mother made, leave one. I'll take one for me, sentimental reasons. You're welcome to have one, because it's such a reminder that if we have faith as small as that, which my faith is as small as that, especially getting up here, then nothing's impossible. And if anybody would see me now, they would laugh, because I couldn't even talk in school. I'd go bright red, I would cry. And when I was doing this with Steve, I cried constantly. I can't look at the picture, Steve. It's bringing back too much memories. You're stupid telling me to do a PowerPoint. But the Lord's allowed me to stand up here. Look at those pictures. And not be grieved, but to be joyful that they were my ex-husband and my mum were a big part of my life. And I love them very much.